This is Dak Prescott, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show. I am Rob Motti with my beautiful wife, Remy. It is great to be with you again as we are back in Florida. Yes. Again, where it is beautiful.
I love it.
We are ecstatic to be here. I love spring training. I'm loving the weather. I hope everybody's getting some good weather back home, which they are.
Because as soon as
we got here and it was in the mid-70s, it's in the 50s back home, which hopefully means the ice and the snow is melting or has melted. And the skating rink in our driveway
is
gone.
It's pretty bad.
That was cool.
You're like refusing to shovel it.
I did shovel. I shoveled the walkways. I shoveled half the driveway.
20% of it.
Shoveled the pathway, but it ain't no more shoveling. I'm done with shoveling for 2021, I believe. I think. I hope. Maybe. Knock on wood.
Yeah,
knock on wood.
So.
All right. Our guest this week is New York Giants running back Saquon Barkley. Saquon's one of the best in the game. Sat down with him before the Super Bowl, and we had a nice conversation. And I want to talk about something that he had posted, and then we had a little conversation about that. He had said probably a couple days before we talked, and he posted on Twitter, "God is working, so I smile." Mm-hmm. So I asked him about it, and he said, well, it's from a Kirk Franklin song.
Yeah.
Which I just played for you, and
it was cool.
It was really cool, right? Mm-hmm. It was a good song, and it says, "I smile even though I hurt. I smile. I know God is working, so I smile even though I've been here for a while. I smile. It's so hard to look up when you've been down. I sure would hate to see you give up now. You look so much better when you smile." And Saquon, you'll hear him later talk about it, and he said that it's kind of like a reminder for him that no matter what people say about you, I know I have God on my side.
Right.
And I want to talk about that today because there's oftentimes that people will say things about you and you can let that creep in, right? Mm-hmm. You can let that creep into your day, your mood, and it'll wipe the smile away.
Right.
So I love how he says, no matter what, you got God on your side, and it doesn't matter what people say about you. And I kind of posted something last week about this too, because if you get too caught up in social media, people are going to say a lot of things about you, especially if you're in a spotlight, and you can't let that impact you.
No.
Now, I actually found myself allowing it to impact my mood when I was with you or I was with the girls. So I decided, like, that's it. I'm shutting it down. I'm not paying attention. I'm just not looking at it. I'm muting notifications. I don't want to see it because people are mean. People are miserable.
Twitter is vicious, man.
Yeah, it's vicious. People are just flat out vicious, disgusting, despicable, and they clearly have something going on. And when you're not happy with yourself, you project it on somebody else. So I don't want it to impact me. I don't want it to bother me at all. I don't want it to bother me when I'm hanging out with my family. I don't want it to bother me at all. So I said, all right, I'm just...
Am I like the only person...
Notifications.
Like literally on social media, I don't go to see other people's posts. Like, am I the only one? Am I like weird or something? I don't go on there to see other people's posts. Like, I can care less. I scroll up so fast that I can care less.
But I just don't have the patience.
You're posting pictures
and whatnot.
Yeah, so I post and get out. And it's hilarious.
Yeah, and then you're posting sometimes something very inspirational and motivational, and that's cool. And you're usually not going to get, usually, I say, attacked for that. But
I block people really fast.
Yeah, but if
I'm
you
not
have
into that.
if you have a strong sports opinion, or if you have any kind of information contradictory to what people want, here's the thing: people want right or wrong. And they want to blame somebody when things don't go the way they expect them to, or they want people to act the way they expect people to act, or negativity sells, and people are always looking for
drama sells.
Yeah,
always
they're looking for ways to attack people. And that's, you know, it's disappointing. It's discouraging. So I decided this is what I'm going to do. I'm just done. I don't care. I don't want to look at it. I don't want to see it. I don't want to look at it.
But you should be like me. You should post and just like not read the comments.
Well, you can mute the notifications so you don't see them. Yeah. That's right. Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
that's what I do.
But as I'm thinking about this song, there's so much more to it, right? As we listen to it, and it's, I know God is working. That's not what Kirk Franklin wrote this about, because he starts out the song talking about recession and depression and unemployment. And today's a new day. There's no sunshine, nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night. Today's a new day. Where are my blue skies? Where is the love and the joy that you promised me? Today's a new day. Today is a new day. Every day is a new day. And I think if we have the perspective of whatever I'm going through today, good, bad, or indifferent, I attack it. I do my best. And then tomorrow is going to be a better day. And then the next day is going to be a better day. But if we approach every day like, this is going to be better than the one before. I'm going to do my best. Mm-hmm. But all the while knowing what Saquon says coming up, that God is on my side, or what Kirk Franklin says in this song is that God is working. So when we have that relationship with the Lord and we know God is working, right? We've all, how many times have we talked about Romans 8:28? That God is always working things for our good.
Always.
Right? And there are other Bible verses that tell you about, but I mean, Romans 8:28 is essentially the one when we talk about God working through bad to turn it for good for those who are called to serve the Lord. If we know and understand and realize that no matter what, in the good moments, God's working. In the bad moments, God's working. In the moments that are in between, in the moments that we're waiting for some response, we're waiting for an answer, we're waiting for whatever we want or hope to achieve or hope to get or hope to accomplish or striving for, God's still working. He hasn't forgot about us. He's still working. Yeah,
God has a great track record of success. Like, it's impeccable. And you cannot beat
pretty
it.
Pretty good.
Yeah, you cannot beat it. And you cannot come here and tell me, like, oh, no, he's, like, 95% or 99%. No, he is 100% track record success. The success record is insane. All right? Yeah. Unbeatable. He's, like, the MVP, whatever you want to call him. He's,
look at you throwing out terms. Yeah, there you go. Like,
MVP? Oh, the GOAT. He's the GOAT. He is the GOAT. All right.
Watch out,
Tom Brady, because, like, you know what I'm saying? So I'm coming for you. Like, I know all the terms now. So God is the GOAT. All right. So he got great.
True that.
He's coming for all them trophies, all the rings, everything. He is coming for all of it. And he has already shown us that he has the best record there is to have. And you have to, you and I and everybody that's listening should have some evidence, if not a lot of evidence, of God working on their lives and God getting them through something that was not possible. And if you don't have that track record, if you don't have those evidence, I suggest you get you some by praying, by getting God involved in every part of your life, because when he gets involved, when you allow him to get involved, you will see the track record. You will see the evidence. We talked about evidence last week.
Yeah.
When you see the evidence of God work in your life, it gives you more encouragement to get him more involved in every single thought, in every single action, because when you do, he will get you through everything, and you will have a reason to smile. The funny thing about smiling is it confuses the devil, and you wanna confuse the devil.
That's good.
Every time you smile, it confuses the devil, because his job is to take your smile away, take your joy away. God's job is to give you your smile and give you something to brag about, okay? So when you want that in your life, smile. Every time something happens, smile, because you know what? The obstacles becomes the way. Every obstacle that you go through becomes the way to get you through things and to get you through levels that are just going to be mind-blowing. Every time you have an obstacle in front of you and you smile and you say, oh, I like this. This is going to be fun. This is going to be fun. On the other side of this, there's going to be so much joy and so much achievement. And you know what? The funny thing is, though, when we go through obstacles and we go through life, it is not about anything but self-development. It's all about where you going.
Yeah.
Where you going? Where are you growing? Because if you're going to shy away under a blanket every time something happens, where are you going to go? You're going to stay in that bed forever.
You're going to stay hidden, you know, underneath a blanket.
You're
going
to be cozy, but you're going to not go anywhere. You're not going to grow. You're just going to be under a blanket forever. So you're going to ask yourself those questions. You're going to sit down and write down everything that you're going through, everything you want God to get you through, and see how he's going to get involved. Because when he gets involved, things get done. Maybe not in a moment, not in a week, maybe not even in a month or a year. There are some things that I prayed about for years and years, and maybe this year they will come true, and they will. But it takes years. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it takes years. But the thing is, you cannot lose hope. See, hope is the key to faith, and the hope is the key to God doing something in your life. But if you lose hope and you give up and you say, oh, that's it, I'm done. I don't think he's listening. I don't think he's gonna. I don't think he's gonna do this for me. Well, then he got nothing to work with.
Right.
You know. So you gotta give him something to work with.
And you gotta put in the work. Well, right. Yeah. We can't.
You can't be under a blanket.
Right. But you also can't just turn to prayer and then do nothing about it. Right?
No. Action, so, action.
You have to take action. You have to take control of your life. Mm-hmm. When you submit to the Lord and you surrender to him and invite him in and allow him to guide you, to lead you, to direct you, to show you the way, that's where you're kind of like on cruise control and he's steering the car.
Right.
But then you can't take an exit.
No.
That isn't on that GPS because you feel like, hey, you know what, God, I got it. I know what I'm doing.
Right.
I'm going to take this exit and veer down this road and go back to what I know, what I'm comfortable with. Yeah. It has to be an all-in surrender. It has to be an all-in, allow God to take control, to guide you, to lead you, and he will show you the way. He'll show you a way out when there's obstacles. He'll show you a way out when there's tough moments. And then he'll help take you to new heights when you're thriving.
And every time you think something is completely dead and gone, and then when you just really pray about it and you really just say, Lord, I've tried, and you know I've tried, you know, and this is it. Like, I've tried everything. Next thing you know, something happens and completely resurrects the situation all over. Like, and you're just like, whoa. How did that just happen? Where did that come from? And it is prayers. It is your action. And even though, like, you tried and tried and tried, he wants you to try and fail. He wants you to. He wants you to try and fail. Because when that happens, he sees your faith. Because faith plus works, faith without works is dead. But faith with work is what gives God a chance to just do something and to give him a way of doing something in your life. So you keep praying. And you keep pressing in, and you keep trying. And it's okay if you get the blocked doors are okay because it shows that you're working. It's not your job to find the correct door. That's God's job to find the correct door. But he wants you to knock on some bad doors.
Yeah, you're going
to. Because he wants the experience for you to grow.
You're going to get no's. You're going to hear. You're going to fail.
And he wants you to grow through it. And he wants you to develop more faith, develop more courage, develop more self-awareness and self-control, and not always bottle everything up and say I'm a failure or this or that. No, he's okay with all those. Like, look at the disciples. They were a hot mess. He likes hot mess. He's cool with hot mess. He's comfortable with hot mess.
Turns that hot mess into something powerful.
Yeah, turn that hot mess makes great, you know, disciples. So I'm down. Like, I want to do that. Like, I'm not saying I want to be a hot mess, but we're all a hot mess.
We've all been at some point.
It's okay to be a hot mess, but also realize that you cannot do this without his help. You know, it's okay to be a hot mess. It's okay to mess up. But at the same time, you say, I need your help. I need you to just get me through, and I need you to help me get to the next level in my walk and in my journey with you. And he will do that. It's very funny how he does it, but he does it, and he does it his way. Your job is to just keep going and pressing and wake up every morning saying, thank you for another opportunity. Thank you for another day. Thank you for trusting me with so much, you know, and speak the word of God over you.
Yes.
You know, we talked about this so
speak
much before.
Things into existence. Yeah, believe it. Existence. Don't be afraid to dream. Don't be afraid to pursue. Don't be afraid to have lofty goals and want to achieve and want to accomplish and not be comfortable exactly where you are. And that's something you helped me with. Sometimes I'm often too comfortable and I'm like, all right, this is good enough. And no, there's another level.
I'm uncomfortable being comfortable. I'm very uncomfortable being comfortable because it means I'm complacent and it means I'm not growing. And if I'm not growing, what am I doing? You know, what am I doing?
It's easy to be comfortable. It's easy to just kick back, sit.
To me, my personality doesn't like it. I don't know. It's weird. Like,
shoot, I know that.
Yeah, my personality doesn't. I'm a type A, and I like control of everything, and I like growing, and I like expanding my horizon, and I like expanding my brain. My brain is like, I just like more knowledge and more things to do. And this is how I see it, right? I see it as like we're in this bubble, right? But every time we learn something or experience something, we expand on the bubble, and we actually have to fit in that bubble.
Do you want that bubble to burst?
It's not about a bubble.
Where's your goal? End goal there.
It's more like I think life is about expanding.
Yes.
You know, and it's not about staying.
Expand your horizons.
In a confining space. It's more like God give you this kind of like a sphere around you, right?
Yeah.
That you're supposed to fit in that sphere. And I feel like the more you grow, the more you walk with him, your sphere grows.
Okay.
And you're supposed to actually fill the space. You fill the space by the things you're doing, the things you're feeling, the things you're accomplishing, or like your walk with Christ. You just fill that space, you know. And I feel like if you don't fill the space, you're gonna feel so weird because you're in this grand space, but you're so little. I don't know if I'm making sense.
No,
but
I'm just following.
Yeah. I know I'm a little deep sometimes, but you just need to like expand with the space God is giving you to expand through. Because I'm a believer of your imagination is your space that you're supposed to fill. So if I guess my imagination is different than other people, but my imagination is wild, right? Like I can imagine things and see things. I can decorate a whole space in my head. Like I can do, I can write things in my head very nicely and very well. Yeah, I'm very, you know, my right brain or whatever they call it. Like I'm very like into
you're digging into that psychology degree, aren't you now?
Yeah, very visual. I'm into imagination. I'm very artistic. Like that's how I get fulfillment. So if I'm not creating something, I feel very strange. Like if I'm not, like it's why I like to cook because it's creating, you know, I like creating things.
Well, I like you cooking. So
yeah, you're more analytical. You're more like left brain. You're analytical. You're more. You're more left brain. You're like, nah, I ain't creating nothing.
I just want to sit back and enjoy the meal. You're creating it. I'm going to sit back and
enjoy
it. And
I'm like, I'm looking for any feedback. It's great. I'm like, no, wait, no.
It's
like,
great.
There's complexity here. There's layers.
What else am I supposed to say? It's good.
It's great. I love it.
It's yummy. I want to touch on something. I want to go back to seeing that evidence. Mm-hmm. Like when you're working out, okay, and you're dieting or you're trying for certain gains, or you're trying to see results, okay? I'm motivated
by evidence.
Results. I'm motivated.
Why are you touching me right now? Because that, you know, that's a frustrating
by
topic,
evidence.
You know?
But I'm saying that right now because we took like, I can go off the rails.
Mm.
So when we drive down to Florida and it's 2 days, and usually you're packing good stuff, healthy food, and then 24 hours into it, I'm like, I don't want the good food that you made.
Yeah.
I want some pizza or I want a sandwich. And then I'm the kind of person who, if I'm not working out and I'm not eating healthy, one bad meal that whole day,
that's always mind-blowing to me.
So I go from one bad meal
right
to I'm like, all right, I'm just going to go all out today.
Right. And eat whatever the heck I want. Monday. Like, it has to be Monday.
And then I'm always like, all right, the next day I'm going to start fresh.
Well, the next day is usually like a Thursday, Friday, and you're like, nah.
I don't care. Like, so this week, I reached a point where it was Wednesday, and I, you know what? I hadn't worked out in several days.
Yeah.
I was eating all around, but I decided on Thursday.
Yeah, my schedule's been off.
I woke up on Thursday and I said, nope, that's it. Putting myself back on track. I'm putting myself back on schedule, and I'm going to eat this way, and I'm going to work out even in this like condo gym that we have, whatever. I'm going to find a way. I'm going to bust out the bands. I'm going to get whatever it is, and I'm going to find a way, and I'm going to make it happen, and I'm going to get myself back on track, because for me, it takes a couple days, and then I quickly see the evidence. I just dropped 3 pounds or I dropped. I know you get
so mad at you.
You get so annoyed at that. But I see the evidence so fast. I see it quickly. Like, I feel good that same day after eating like crap for 4 days. By 6 p.m. on the one day where I'm like, all right, I cut out the carbs, I'm eating protein, I'm doing this.
He cuts one thing. He's like, he lost it. I lost 6 pounds. I'm like, wait, you just like. Did not eat bread one time.
It takes 3 days.
Meantime, I've been working out for 2 months and like
with different
the
bodies,
skills
man.
Just.
It's different bodies.
But I do see evidence though of me working out. I see the evidence.
I see. But you see how that evidence motivates me. I know it motivates you too.
Absolutely.
when you see that evidence, because you could tell when things fit you differently, when they start feeling better, whatever it is, you see that evidence and it inspires you to keep going. It inspires you. You know what? I'm not going to have half a pizza. I'm not going to. See, I can't even say one. Like, if I'm that, I don't know what it is about my personality, but if I have one slice, I'm going to have five. And then I'm going to have ice cream after.
You're impulsive.
And then I'm going to have something else because I'm going to say, oh, I ruined it today. So I'm going to just go back on track
like that.
Tomorrow.
I can literally take one bite of one thing and be like, all right, this urge is satisfied. We're good now.
Okay. So the same way you get mad at me for like losing 3 pounds in 15 minutes. Now you could tell me you can have one bite.
Can have one bite of one thing and be like, all right, good. I'm good.
And then we took the girls, you know, you get here, we go grocery shopping. Usually I love when they pick out their own ice cream because they always pick out flavors I hate.
Right.
And it makes me happy because I'm like, all right, I'm not going to eat this unicorn, whatever, nasty looking blue thing. But then the other day, they both picked out like two really a raspberry chocolate chip.
I still don't like
and
that.
And then the other one was like a mocha peppermint,
I took one little spoonful of it, like a small taste just to taste it. And I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. That's it.
See, I couldn't.
That's it.
That's all I needed. I had a giant waffle cone.
I saw it.
Yeah.
Oh, I saw it.
So I applaud you for being giant. Able to take like one half a spoon.
I don't
because I had to have a 6-scoop giant waffle cone.
I don't have the sweet tooth. That's the thing. I don't understand it. I just don't like sugar. I don't like sugar. I like salt. I like savory stuff.
But you know what? In 1.5 days, I'm seeing the evidence. Turning around. It's turned around already. I already feel better because I just cut. That's it. I cut it out again, got back on track. And that inspires me. And that brings us back to what you were saying earlier with God. When you surrender to him, when you submit to him, when you accept his will and not your will, it's not my will be done. It's his will be done. It's not my way. It's his way. And as you said, you start to see evidence. And man, when you see that evidence of God working in your life, it is so powerful.
It is.
Because then you start to feel like, what else can he do?
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like he's up there going, man, you have no idea what I can do.
See, this is what I do when I pray. I always say, like, I wonder what he's up to right now because he is such a planner and he knows what to do and what not to do. And I'm like, I sometimes, like, when I'm thinking about something before I go to bed, because I pray and then I lay down and I do my I do like some sort of an exercise that I'll share with you guys. Like, I lay down, and before I lay down, if my brain starts to think of things I have to do or worry about things I have to do, I switch and say, I am going to use my imagination right now to feel, mm-hmm. put feeling, like mm-hmm. to feel what I would feel if I actually have all these things happen that I want to happen and my end goal.
Wow.
So it's an
image. You didn't tell me this.
Oh, okay.
It's like a
meditation exercise,
yeah.
But it's not meditation like a woosah kind of thing. No, it's more like just
like a what?
Woosah. Like you said, they're like a you know yoga like position. Like it's okay. Not that. You know, it's more like if you
namaste.
Think namaste. No, I mean yoga's cool and everything, okay. But that's not what we're talking about. You know, we're gotcha. Talking about like it's like a concentrated meditation that trains your brain to think positive things and not just like, oh, think positive thoughts. No, it's training your brain to feel, because if your brain feels things, your brain will understand what it actually wants and go after it, because our brain is actually trained to do the opposite.
Yeah.
It's trained to protect you. So to protect you, it's actually easier to flee. It's easier to surrender and say, I can't do this. It's hard. And just run away and flee.
Oh, I have that.
Flee the scene.
I have that kind yeah. of mentality.
No. Like it's not just you. That's human nature.
Well, I yeah.
Your brain is trained like that. Your subconscious
like,
is trained to do
I'm done. I don't
want to
do this anymore. I'm not going to do it.
Exactly. It's
forget
everybody.
About it.
It's everybody. But you have to. So to do that, to do the switch, is actually train your brain to feel, not just think, to feel. What it would the feeling be? So if I have this A, B, and C done, right? How would I feel? Ooh, I would feel really good. And you would immediately actually start to smile. And you will immediately start to feel really relaxed and really happy. Because now your brain, actually your brain that has no idea, like your subconscious brain, has no clue what's happening. Your conscious brain does, but your subconscious brain has no clue. It doesn't understand that this reality is where you're living right now. So if you go in your imagination and train your brain to smile and to feel things that you want, it will feel, oh, okay, I can do this. And everything that's huge in front of you feels so simple because I already felt it. I already felt what it feels like to have that or do that.
You're getting all philosophical, busting out the psychology
that's
here.
That's the stuff I love.
Meanwhile, I'm thinking of like how sometimes when one of our girls is not happy, upset, whatever it may be, mm-hmm. and I tell her, happy is a choice. Just smile. Just turn that sadness. Just smile. That's
it's
all I want
so
to do
true.
Is I want to see you smile, and then she'll force it. And, you
no,
know,
but
fake
it's true.
Smile and try and. But
us adults, we need that exercise as well. You know, when you feel sad, when you feel overwhelmed, what are you supposed to do? Do the same thing. Take your own advice and feel the feeling.
God
is
working.
Yeah, God is
working.
So
you know what? Here, I have it. I'm going to play a little bit of this, okay? I'm going to play a little bit of.
I dedicate this song to recession, depression, and unemployment. This song's for you.
Today's a new day, but there is no sunshine. Nothing but clouds, and it's dark in my heart, and it feels like a cold night. Today's a new day, but where are my blue skies? Where is the love and the joy that you promised me? Tell me it's alright.
I'll be honest with you.
I almost gave up. A power that I can't explain fell from heaven like a shower.
When I think how much better I'm gonna be when this is over,
I smile. Even though I hurt, see, I smile. I know God is working, so I smile.
There you go. See, even though I hurt, I smile. I love that, but. I almost gave up, but a power that I can't explain fell from heaven like a shower.
Mm-hmm.
That's God's power. Mm-hmm. That's the evidence that you talked about.
Right.
That if you don't give up,
and
if
that's
you
the smiling.
Keep
when
going,
things are going bad, you just smile.
Keep smiling.
Yeah.
Keep looking for there's a way out, and there's a way to turn that whatever it is that moment. sometimes it's not a moment, right? We say moment, but it could be a period of weeks and months or however long it is that you've been, things haven't gone your way. You're down, mm-hmm. something, you're down in a dump, something happened at work, or maybe it's an illness or whatever. Maybe it's, sometimes it's a generational thing, right? Where people have depression and have mm-hmm. anxiety issues and have all of this. Like, I had to break the habit of, my mother is the biggest worrier in the world. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, worry, like, and I told myself, I don't want to be that person. And my dad the same way. Like, they worry about everything.
Like, everything.
I mean, literally. Like,
you can tell them stuff because they will worry.
Yeah. So I'm like, I don't want to be that way right. with my girls. I don't want to be that way. To the point, like, I can't swim. Why can't I swim, right?
Yeah,
why can't I swim?
Crazy with that?
I can't swim because my parents were, they had a fear of water right. passed down to me, never took me to a pool. I can't swim. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you how proud I am mm-hmm. that my little ones, they last year they learned and completely on their own, and now they're 7, and today they're diving into the deep end of the pool.
They learn the same way I learned.
I can't go in there.
Put them in the ocean.
They're like, daddy, they're yelling at me, daddy, look. And I'm like sitting on a sideline getting yeah. some sun. And there they are diving in the deep end. And I still, mm-hmm. I worry to the point now where like, well, I don't want them doing that if you're not there because I can't go in that deep end. So there's still
the
a little bit of worry.
Obstacle becomes a virtue.
Yeah,
you
but
just got to go
but
I, and
I'm
do
so
it.
I'm so proud of that mm-hmm. because I didn't want to be that way. I didn't want to have that worry. I wanted to be able to break that. And I think we all have things that maybe been handed down to us. We want to right. break through. We want whatever it is that we want to get over, to overcome. And that's where God works, man. He works. We just have to ask. One, you have to ask. You have to reach out for the help. You have to seek it. You have to seek his will. And that's something that I've constantly,
yeah.
like, there was a time where I would try and not manipulate God, but in a way say, like, hey, if you do this, I'll do this. If you do mm-hmm. this, I'll do this. And that wasn't working for me.
Oh, that, yeah, because that doesn't work. Yeah.
Like, you can't cut a deal, right?
You cannot.
Hey, God, you know what? Help me out here. Help me out in this situation. I promise I won't. I'll do this, or I promise. But that was, I would say, over a decade, maybe 12, 15 years ago, before I really accepted Christ and understood what it meant to have a relationship. But I was a deal maker, man. I would be like, God,
well,
I want
to. Yeah.
I think we sometimes fall into that trap, fall into that tendency where we're like, all right, hook me up here, get me this or do this for me, and I'll do this in return. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way.
Mainly because he's not looking for anything in return.
He doesn't need anything from us.
He really, like, that's you be cutting him a deal that is just not a good deal, okay? Because he does not need anything from us. Like, whatever we got is nothing, okay? compared to what he got. He's a king, and he has a kingdom, so we got nothing compared to that. But it's not even about that. It's about your heart. It's all he wants is a relationship with us. Just like when we look at our kids, we don't want anything from them. We just want them to have a relationship with us because we love them so much. We want them to have a relationship. We want them to talk to us. We want them to just have fun with us. And we're not looking to take a toy from them. We're not mm-hmm. looking to have whatever, because whatever they have, we already give them anyways. So it's the same exact relationship, but on such a bigger scale that we cannot even understand. Like, he gave us life, and all he wants in return is a relationship. And to give that relationship is everything. And he's not looking for a whole lot of time or anything. He's just looking for one-on-one, like a little
our
bit
heart.
Of like heart and a little bit
our
of a
heart.
Conversation and a little bit of
commit our heart.
God, like, just yeah. come in and deal with everything with me. We are co-laborer with God. We are in this together, kind of like a relationship in a marriage. You're in this together. You're not in this to, I give you this and you give me that. It's more of like, I want to do this life with you because it's more meaningful. It's more fun. It's more understandable. It's not frustrating. It's more, I get it now. So that's all he wants from us.
He's working,
mm-hmm.
and we're smiling. And if we keep smiling, he keeps working, we will see the results mm-hmm. of our faith. When you put your faith in him, mm-hmm. you'll see those results. Like I said, when I start to eat a little bit better, or when I start to work out and I start to curtail everything and do it the right way, I start to see the evidence. I start to see the results. We put our trust fully in him. We'll start to see that evidence. We'll start to see the results. Keep smiling. God is working. Up next, you're going to hear from Saquon Barkley. You're listening to Faith on a Field Show with Rob and Remy Motti.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at Karen.edu.
Since 1930, the Heritage family has proudly served the communities of South Jersey. From humble roots, Heritage's dairy stores now operate 33 convenient locations. Their desire is to become your convenience store of choice, not just because of their welcoming atmosphere, but because of their fresh quality products. Heritage's milk is still the sweetest. Coffee's hot and fresh, and Heritage's full-service delis offer the best local ingredients prepared and sliced on site, far exceeding the competition. Heritage's Dairy Stores. It's not just our name, it's our heritage.
Did you know creating your legacy documents, will, power of attorney, advanced medical directive, etc., is important because it allows you to have control over how your estate will be distributed upon your passing? You also get to decide who will make decisions, both financial and medical, if you are incapacitated and unable to make them for yourself. It allows a trusted family member or friend to become the decision maker. Without these documents, these types of decisions will be determined by a court based upon state laws that may or may not be in order with your desires and intentions. I have two daughters and realized they could be in trouble if something happened to my wife and I. Thank goodness for Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates, because now Remy and I have our estate planning documents in place to protect our family, which is even more important during these challenging times. Make your appointment with Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates at 856-428-2266. Like I did, to get the peace of mind that estate planning can bring. That's 856-428-2266.
Hey, this is Jerome Bettis, former running back from the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show. I am Rob Motti with Remy. If you're tuning in for the first time on radio, you can go to faithonafieldshow.com and find every episode since we launched in April 2017. We've had an awesome lineup, incredible guests. You can listen anytime at your convenience. We're also on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, as well as iTunes. You can follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Faith on the Field. If you want to sign up for our weekly email list, we will send each episode right to your inbox. Make sure you also follow us on our personal social media platforms. I'm at Rob Motti on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and at Real Rob Motti on Instagram. Remy is at Remy Motti on all her platforms. We'll let you know about some of the speaking appearances and other events that we're hosting. You can also go to my YouTube channel and listen to some of my recent messages, some of my interviews with the athletes. Some are longer form, so you could check those out there too as well. Saquon Barkley was the number 2 overall pick by the New York Giants in 2018. He had over 1,000 yards rushing in each of his first two seasons. He had over 2,000 total yards from scrimmage as a rookie. But Saquon tore his ACL in week 2 last season. I sat down with Saquon before the Super Bowl. Here is my conversation with Saquon Barkley.
First off, how's the knee feeling and where are you in your rehab process?
The knee's feeling really well. Doing really well in rehab, just coming every single day with the mindset of getting 1% better. Very lucky, have a great team around me, great trainers, great doctors. Everyone has been very beneficial to me and very helpful to me. So whenever the opportunity I'm able to get back on the football field with my team, I'm definitely going to cherish that moment. And I just honestly can't wait for that day to happen soon.
You think you could be ready for week one?
You know, I don't want to put any speculations out in air. I'm just really just focusing right now on today and tomorrow and the day after that. I think that's the best way to look at it. And I think that's the best way to do that. When you focus on that little stuff, then the rest will take care of itself.
I've had a torn ACL. For me, the rehab was probably the toughest that I've ever gone through. As I was going through it, I couldn't wait to just jog. Like, I was like, I can't believe that I can't even run right now. What was the hardest part for you? Was it something physical, or was it just the mental aspect of not being out on that field with your guys?
I would say the mental aspect, not being out there with your guys. The rehab process is really hard. I would agree with that. You got to start all over. You got to teach yourself how to walk, jog, run, sprint, cut, and all that stuff again. But the mental part, just especially when I hurt myself at the moment, I was really feel like I was letting everyone down, and all my teammates down. So to be able to watch those guys on Sunday, it was a very emotional day, I guess you could say, kind of up and down, because I was happy to see them go out there and ball out, especially with the game that we won. But it was kind of sad at the same time because I wanted to be out there so bad with them. But, hey, everything happens for a reason. Just got to continue to get to work and control the things that I can control and let the rest take care of itself.
What did you think of Joe Judge when he first came in? And then as the season went on and as you got to know him, did your perception change?
Yeah. At first, I think the mindset everyone has was when he came and gave his speech, he let everyone know he's about business and what he's going to be about. When I first met him and our conversation, I remember it was like, I couldn't like stop looking at his eyes. Like, I was just like, it was like I was talking to a sergeant or something like that. Yeah, that's how nervous I was. And throughout time, when you got to see him, he got to show his personality, even through Zoom. It was very hard to do that because you can't meet each other. But even through Zoom for OTAs and stuff like that, he got to show his personality, got to show how competitive he is when we did our team for team stuff and we would compete during those days. And even during the season, for him, something special with him, when I got hurt, I was trying to be this tough guy and stay strong in the locker room and show like team that I'm not like, obviously I'm physically hurt, but I'm not hurt. And then I kind of just started breaking down in front of him. And he looked me in the eye and told me, it's going to be one hell of a story. That's the type of guy he is. He got his guys back and he's a guy that's for his players. And he's a guy that's going to come in every single day and push you and get the best out of you no matter what.
Is it easier to buy into him and his style because he came from New England and they had so much success there?
No, it's not just because he came from New England. For me, I'm just a big believer in buying in. That's the only way it's going to work, in my opinion. It's not going to work if you don't buy in. The culture won't work. And I think he came in and established a culture. For me, being one of the leaders on the team, I try to buy in as best as I can. So, we had this thing where you mess up, you got to run laps. I remember the time where I messed up, but I don't think it was like really a thing that I was caught. And after practice, I ran laps on my own because that's the rule. And that's what I think is going to help us become the team that we're going to become. And I think it started showing that this year, obviously a little later than we would like. And we put ourselves in a position to play a game that had playoff implications. And if we won that game, we put ourselves in a situation to play in the playoffs. And sadly, we just left our faith in another team hand where we got to learn that we can't do that and be better early in the year.
Well, tell me about that a little bit, because I know that it came down to the Eagles having to beat Washington. And a lot of guys on the Giants, a lot of your fans were pretty upset with the way that the Eagles handled that situation. How did you personally feel about it as you were watching it, and do you have any hard feelings that might linger in the next season?
No hard feelings. I tweeted something like, what's going on, or can someone make it make sense to me? Because I didn't understand what's going on, to be completely honest. I didn't know why Hurts came out the game and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, it's easy to sit there and point the finger at the Eagles and saying, oh, they're the reason why we didn't make the playoffs. That's not the case. That's not the case at all. It's ourselves. It's on us. We didn't do what we had to do enough early in the season to put ourselves in the playoffs. We gave ourselves a chance, but now we learned from that situation that never put your faith in another team's hands, and that's why we got to come out in this offseason. And whenever we are able to link up, take it serious, treat it serious, and when the season starts, try to get a jump ball in the year. So at the end of the year, we don't make it a question.
Your offensive line, as the season went on, seemed to settle in and perform well. How encouraged are you by the way those guys stepped up, and how excited are you to run behind them?
Very excited. You saying that brings fire to my face. Obviously, you know, things were a little shaky in the beginning of the year. I remember the first game of the season, we didn't have our best game in the run game at all. But I remember bringing those guys after the game and talking to all, each and every lineman saying, we're a very talented group. You know, we got to just keep coming to work every single day. We're going to get this thing figured out. Unfortunately, I got hurt. Wayne and then Alfred and all those guys and Deion took over, and they started getting things clicking. And I think you saw when we got the run game going, we were a really hard team to beat. We have a great run game, we have a great defense, and you have a great quarterback and talent all around, which I believe we have. We can take that middle portion towards the end of the season. I think we play some of our best ball and start off with that. I think we're going to be in a very good place.
Saquon, I had Barry Sanders on the show today, and I asked him about some of his favorite guys to watch. Who were some of your favorite running backs growing up to watch play?
Obviously, I've never seen Barry play, but Barry is definitely my favorite. You know, just with the help of YouTube and be able to watch his style of run and see the things that he's able to do. I think he's the most electrifying player in NFL history with a ball in his hand. I'll say Walter Payton, Sweetness, is another guy that I love watching growing up. Obviously, I didn't watch him play again, but just with YouTube. Curtis, I actually did watch Curtis Martin play. I was a big Jets fan, so Curtis Martin. Thomas Jones had a little streak there, too, with the Jets. Shannon Green, a Big Ten running back that played with the Jets. I like watching those guys when I was a kid growing up. AP is an amazing runner. I would say him. And then for college, I would go Reggie Bush in an NFL too. I would say Reggie Bush is some of those guys that stood out to me and I love watching him play.
How close are you with Miles Sanders and what's your relationship like with him being that he followed you at Penn State? And do you guys have any kind of friendly competition going?
Yeah, Miles Sanders, that's my dog. You know, I came in the year before him. And he came in and we kind of been playing. We played in college 2 years with each other. And, you know, I always knew he was talented and knew he was special. You know, I feel like that he actually has opportunity to be one of the best backs in the league. You know, I think he is already, in my personal opinion. But, you know, you got to show it. And obviously he got to get more chances, more opportunities to do it. But I think he's averaging like 5 yards per carry, something like that. Something really well absurd, to be honest. So I'm really excited for his future. I think I commented on something on his post the other day. It was like, this is the year or something like that. It's going to be the year that you come and you show everyone, because I really do believe that he's going to push himself up there and be one of the key names at the running back position.
Saquon, tell me what you're doing with Verizon and Verizon 5G Stadium in Fortnite.
Yeah, Verizon 5G Stadium Fortnite today. I'm linking up with some NFL players and gamers and get to put on a little show for the fans. And, you know, it's amazing, obviously, what's going on in the world to partner up with Verizon and find a way to still give back and you know, show that we're doing something in a fun way and put smiles on people's face. And you know, I've been working with Verizon for a pretty long time now, and it's always a pleasure when I'm able to work up and link up with those guys.
One last one for you. You tweeted the other day, and it got my attention, and said, "I know God is working, so I smile." As a believer, I know what that means. What does it mean to you that God is working and it puts a smile on your face, probably peace in your heart?
Well, yeah. Well, one, it's a Kirk Franklin song that I was bumping, and I love that song. But what it means to me is that no matter what, there's going to be people that's going to say anything about you. There's going to be people that are going to criticize you. But at the end of the day, I know that I got God on my side, and if I continue to come to work every single day and have belief in him, the rest is going to take care of itself.
Saquon, pleasure, man. Thank you so much for spending some time with me.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
That was Saquon Barkley. This is Faith on the Field Show with Rob and Remy Mahdi.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Karen University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Karen is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Karen is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at karen.edu/visit.
With 33 convenient locations, Heritage's Dairy Stores desire to be your deli of choice. Heritage's full-service delis offer great-tasting products for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The Hera Egg Breakfast Sandwich made with 2 farm-fresh eggs, cheese, and choice meat on a fresh Kaiser roll makes your morning simple. Heritage's famous subs are built on freshly baked Lissio rolls and feature Dietz & Watson premium meats and cheeses freshly sliced anytime. Making lunches at home? Try one of our lunchbox specials, which are sure to please. Heritage's Dairy Stores, our family, your hometown deli.
Did you know creating your legacy documents, will, power of attorney, advanced medical directive, etc. is important because it allows you to have control over how your estate will be distributed upon your passing? You also get to decide who will make decisions, both financial and medical, if you are incapacitated and unable to make them for yourself. It allows a trusted family member or friend to become the decision maker. Without these documents, these types of decisions will be determined by a court based upon state laws that may or may not be in order with your desires and intentions. I have 2 daughters and realized they could be in trouble if something happened to my wife and I. Thank goodness for Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates, because now Remy and I have our estate planning documents in place to protect our family, which is even more important during these challenging times. Make your appointment with Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates at 856-428-2266. Like I did, to get the peace of mind that estate planning can bring. That's 856-428-2266.
This is Emmitt Smith. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show. I'm Rob Motti with Remy. I want to take a minute to thank our awesome sponsors. Please check them out on our website, Karen University, Heritage's Dairy Stores, Brenda Lee Utzler, and Associates. If you would like to be a sponsor for our show, please reach out to us at team@faithonthefieldshow.com. We've got various packages for all of the radio stations. We can also do podcasts, social media, video clips of our interviews. There's a ton of different ways that you can partner up with Faith on the Field and help us grow our ministry. Our goal is to be on a sports radio station in every state. And if you don't have a business to advertise on, but you just want to help our ministry grow, we now have a donate button on our page on faithonthefieldshow.com. And also, we've recently added, you can help our ministry by purchasing some of our new merchandise through Remy's 828 Threads Apparel store. We have t-shirts, long-sleeve shirts, sweatshirts, hoodies, mugs, face masks, and so much more. The My Story, His Glory t-shirt is very popular. We have a new design that's got a football helmet, and it says, "I wear the helmet of salvation," which we took from Ephesians 6:17. So check that out on our website, also at faithonthefieldshow.com. You could look under merch and all over our social media. You can also find that stuff too. Thank you to Saquon Barkley for being our guest this week. Big thanks to Doug Horton and Pastor Scott Foreman for all their hard work for Faith on the Field Show. And thank you to all of our listeners and everyone who makes this happen. For Remy, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.